11, particularly verses 17 through 27. We'll read at the beginning of the chapter through verse 27. Some might be thinking, as we're looking at this, oh, we're looking at the death and the resurrection of Lazarus. And that's not exactly true. We are looking at him who is the resurrection and the life as we look at this passage. So hear God's holy word. Now, a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and are you going there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. After saying these things, he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover. Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking rest and sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died. And for your sake, I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. Let us go to him. So Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, we know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. Thus far the reading. God's holy and fallible word. May he add his blessing to it. Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank you for your word. And we know that indeed your word is inerrant and fallible because it is your word. And Lord, grant us your blessing now. Bless he who brings your word and bless us each that we might hear what you have for us. Teach us more of the very fact that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the very reason that we gather for worship every Lord's Day is the resurrection of Christ. In fact, the very reason that we now gather on the first day of the week instead of the seventh day of the week, as the Old Testament church did, is because Jesus rose from the grave on the first day of the week. And as the Father rested from his labor of creation on the seventh day, so Christ rose and rested from his labor of redemption on the first day of the week. So we call Sunday the Lord's Day, commemorating the very fact that this is the day that Jesus rose from the grave. And so the resurrection is the reason we gather every single Lord's Day. And so we ought, in one sense, say, as I said this morning, that every single Sunday or every single Lord's Day is Resurrection Sunday. This isn't something we focus on only nearly once a year. We do this weekly. Yet it's not wrong for us to focus once a year, right? Or at different times on a particular passage emphasizing the resurrection like we're doing today. We did that this morning looking at Hebrews 12, the first three verses. Now looking at John chapter 11, 17 to 27, and Jesus has the resurrection in his life. But brothers and sisters, as you know, John 11 tells us about the death and the raising of Lazarus. But it's important for you to realize and understand that this chapter of Scripture is not all about Lazarus. It's all about Jesus. It's all about him as the resurrection and the life. Every passage of Scripture, right, is all about Christ. And that's why Jesus tells Martha, the sister of Lazarus here, verses 25 to 26, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. That's the hope of Lazarus. Jesus, the resurrection and the life. And because Jesus is the resurrection of life, he who believes in Jesus has life and has it abundantly. Because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And that's what was shown when Jesus called Lazarus to come forward. And Lazarus got up and came forward. Now there's a lot we can look at in this chapter, but we're focusing on Jesus as the resurrection and the life. And with that, let me tell you things that we know for sure. Medical science can't give you eternal life. All that medicine can do is help with the body. It might extend life some, but it can't keep you from dying. Now, it is true that people often live longer today than they did 50 or 75 years ago. And it's also true that science, or God, through science, God blessing science, has virtually eliminated certain diseases that were once great killers. You don't often hear today of somebody dying of polio or smallpox and so on. But of course, on the other hand, deaths from heart disease and cancer, and we can name a whole lot of others, continue to skyrocket. And you all know what the death rate is in America, don't you? I've said this before. 100%. Everybody in this world is going to die at one point or another. Hebrews tells us that just as it was appointed for man to die once, after that comes judgment. Science, medicine can't stop that. Medicine cannot triumph over death. Medicine is not the resurrection and the life. By this, I'm not saying, hey, don't take medicine. Don't go to doctors. That's not the point, right? God has left us with doctors. But our ultimate hope for life is not medicine, it's Christ, who is the resurrection and the life. That's what's emphasized for us here in the Gospel of John. We're not going to look at this whole chapter, even the verses we're looking at, we're not going to get everything out of it. There's a lot here, there's a lot of substance here. We'll look at two things. We'll talk about the faith of Martha, and then we'll talk about the words of Christ. Now, it's quite clear that Martha was indeed a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. She did have an amazing profession of faith at the end of our passage here, saying to Jesus, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. And we're going to deal with that profession of faith a little bit later. But at the same time, I want to point out some weaknesses in the faith of Martha. And, of course, we can point out weaknesses in each one of us, so it's not a way of picking on Martha here. But Jesus is going to strengthen her faith. Jesus is going to tell her some of the things that she needs to know to increase her faith that he indeed is the resurrection and the life. When Martha met Jesus, she repeated words that she was probably thinking all along during the illness of her brother. If only Jesus were here. If only Jesus were here. Kind of assuming, kind of thinking what? If Jesus was here, he could do something. Now, these weren't her exact words, but what was she ultimately saying by that? Because he's not here, he can't do this. He can't. He didn't even know. He can't do anything because he wasn't here. And now when she sees Jesus, right, she says to Jesus, verse 21, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Now, I don't think she was angry with Jesus. I don't think she was trying to rebuke Jesus. What took you so long? Why weren't you here? Why didn't you care? I don't think that was her tune there. Why didn't you dilly-dally? Martha's words are simply an expression of deep grief, wishing that Jesus had been there, but still misunderstanding the power of Christ. See, Martha fully doesn't understand the greatness of Christ and the power of Christ. Her phrase limits the power of Jesus. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. If only he got here in time. Jesus has power over place and time. He didn't have to be in Bethany at Lazarus' home to save Lazarus. Jesus Christ, being fully God, is present everywhere, and being all powerful, he could have performed this miracle from anywhere. There are many believers today, like Martha, who ask the why and how, and what if, Jesus, what if? These questions often fail to grasp the power of God and the goodness of God. What we need to believe and rest in is Jesus Christ, who is the resurrection and the life. In fact, I trust you caught it when we were reading earlier in this chapter that Jesus purposely delayed going to Bethany for 2 days. Did you catch that in verse 6? So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Jesus purposely did not go right away. He purposely delayed going to Bethany. This wasn't cruelty. This wasn't insensitivity. It was his plan for Lazarus to die and to be dead 4 days when he got to Bethany and to their home. See, Jesus wanted it quite clear, quite evident, that Lazarus was dead so that he might display the power of God in raising the dead, so that he might show, not only in word, but in deed, that he is the resurrection and the life. I mean, those are some powerful words, right? I'm the resurrection and the life. What does that mean? Well, let me show you. Lazarus, come forth! And so Jesus displays that. Now, why the delay, though? Why the waiting? Well, the Jews, not from the Bible, but the Jews had this belief that the soul of a person kind of stayed around for 3 days, kind of seeing if life would come back to the body. But on the fourth day, or at the end of the third day, right, the soul would go. And so, in the mind of Jews at the time, the mind of the people at that time, you know, if Lazarus was raised on the first or the second day, or even perhaps the third day, they might have said, what? Well, I guess he wasn't really dead. It wasn't complete. Jesus delayed to make sure that it was, that he was dead, or so that it'd be obvious that he was dead. fact, by the fourth day, right, there was plenty of decomposing of the body. And that was even Martha's concern when Jesus was talking about the wrong way of his tone. She's like, there's going to be a spell! You can't do that! Let's continue to look at the words of Martha in verse 22. But even now, she says, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Now this may sound at first that Martha expected that Jesus was going to raise the dead, that Jesus was going to raise Lazarus from the dead right there on the spot. But that's not the case. Martha didn't expect something so amazing as Jesus raising the dead on the spot. How do we know that's not what she expected? Jesus tells her in verse 23, your brother will rise again. If she thought that Jesus was going to do that on the spot, she would have said something like, oh, great Lord, thank you. I was hoping for that. But instead she responds, well, not even imagining, thinking that possible. I know that he will rise again. The resurrection. That being true, but that's not what Jesus was saying. She didn't expect anything immediate. She was looking to the future. She had no idea that Jesus was going to call Lazarus forth. Furthermore, as I already said, when Jesus asked for the stone to be moved away from the tomb, she objected. Verse 39, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he's been dead 4 days. She didn't expect something immediate. Yet Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Now we've looked at what Martha believed. Let's take a look at how Jesus dealt with her. He was kind. He was compassionate with her. No harsh words of rebuke. No, Martha, Martha, you don't know what you are talking about. Although that would have been true too. He proclaims to her, he tells her that he's the resurrection of the life, and then he proves it by raising Lazarus from the dead. Okay, look carefully at Jesus' words, 25 and 26. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Jesus is the resurrection and the life in person. He is the cause. He is the source. He is the fountain of the believer's glorious resurrection and of their everlasting life. Because he lives, those who belong to him shall live as well. Without him, there's nothing but death. With Christ present, resurrection and life is assured. He's the conqueror of death. And not only is he the conqueror of death in the future, the resurrection, the last day, he's the resurrection, the life now and always. That's the truth that Martha failed to understand. Thus, Jesus places emphasis on it here, that the spark of hope might be kindled again in Martha's heart. What Martha couldn't even dare to hope was about to become real. For at this moment, Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And at every moment, Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He is victor over death. Remember that at all times, Jesus is the resurrection. He's the life. He has victory over death. But how does Jesus have victory over death? What do we mean by that? Whoever believes in me, Jesus said, though he die, yet shall he live. He who believes in Christ, though he will die, he will live. When a believer dies, he has life. Because when a believer dies, he goes immediately into the presence of God. For the believer, death is not the end of life, not the end of existence. It's the entrance into eternal life. It's the entrance into the bosom of the Savior, which indeed is life. Not only that, though the body may die and though we may place it in the ground, it's not going to stay in the ground. For when Christ returns, all bodies will be raised from the dead. It's clear from John 5, 28-29. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out. And those who've done good to the resurrection of life, and those who've done evil to the resurrection of judgment. Just as real and just as true as Jesus called Lazarus to life, so when he returns again, all of them in the grave come forth. 1 Corinthians makes it clear that we glorify bodies. It's not emphasized here, but that's true. Jesus also says, verse 26, and everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. We might say, first, never die. Actually, we could translate that phrase, whoever lives and believes in me will never, ever die. There's an emphasis there in the Greek. The true believer will never, ever die. Now, I know many of us might say, well, what does Jesus mean by that? Because we see believers die all the time. In our own congregation, we've seen three deaths over the past year. Only 8 months. The body does indeed die. That's a result of sin. The believer's body will die. The believer doesn't die as a whole. Because even when the body dies, the soul remains alive and goes immediately to Jesus the Savior. But the body still remains united with Christ and will be raised. Because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. All of this because Jesus is the resurrection. There will be a resurrection of the body. And there is life in the Spirit with the Savior now. Having told Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Jesus then asked, do you believe this? Let me ask you, do you believe this? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life? And are you relying upon him for life? Are you trusting him for eternal life? There is life for all those, and those only who are resting in him who is the resurrection of life. Are you doing that? In Christ alone there's life. Without Christ there's nothing but death, eternal death. It's a reminder for each of us to seek out Christ and to rest in Christ who is the life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Friends, Martha, who was weak in faith, now professes a tremendous faith. She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. Now, a threefold profession. Not going to be able to look at it with a huge depth. We do want to look at it just at least briefly. It's rich. First of all, Martha professed that Jesus was the Christ. He's the anointed one. He's the herald of salvation. It's through him alone that there's salvation. He's the one that the entire salvation pointed to. He's the anointed one. He's the Messiah. He's the one that's been promised. Second, Martha calls Jesus here the Son of God, acknowledging his deity, rightly proclaiming Christ as God. It's important that we recognize that Jesus is divine. How else could he be the resurrection and the life? How else could he triumph over death? How else could he be raised from the dead and raise himself from the dead apart from being God? But his very resurrection, right? The evidence that he is the resurrection and the life. Third, Martha confessed that Jesus is the one who is to come into the world. In other words, Jesus is the one who was promised and prophesied about through the entire Old Testament. He's the Lamb of God. He's the one who's come to redeem. Salvation is in him. All the sacrifices of the Old Testament point to him. This is what Martha believed. And this is what we're called to believe as well. How is he the resurrection of life? You know the answer to that. Jesus, Christ, the second person of the Godhead, took to himself a human nature. He did that without giving up any of his deity. While becoming fully man, Christ remained fully God. And he lived a perfect life of obedience in the place of his people. But not only that, he went to the cross in the place of his people. The wages of sin is death, and Jesus took that wage upon himself. That's what you and I deserve for our sin. And Christ took that. The hammer blows of God's wrath, rather than rain down upon your head and my head, rain down upon the head of Christ. Jesus didn't say that. It was on Friday that he was crucified. But on the morning of the Lord's Day, he powerfully rose from the grave. He's the resurrection and the life. And there's life to him. He triumphed over death. He conquered death. You might say, he put death to death. Apart from Christ's resurrection, there would be no hope. Romans 4:25 says that he was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. Or in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 3 and 4, it says this: For I deliver to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. And then down to verse 14. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. But as a matter of fact, Christ has been raised. He's the resurrection. He's the life. And in him, and him alone, is life. Life eternal. Life abundant. Are you resting on him who is the resurrection and the life? And take joy. Take joy in what Christ has done for you. Take joy, as we saw this morning, of the very fact that for the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross. The joy of redeeming the people for himself. He took the hammer blows of God's wrath, and he was raised on the third day. He is the resurrection of life. Praise be to God for his grace. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do rejoice. Christ is the resurrection and the life. Lord, we know the wages of sin is death. We know that's what we have merited. We thank you for the life we have in Jesus. And Father, may we celebrate that life every Lord's Day and every single day. May we live before your face and understand that as we live, whether we realize it or not, we are living before your face. So may we realize it and live for you. In your name, be honored and glorified. We pray.